Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome back Lee Murray. She's got a new book coming out and a whole bunch of new adventures, and we're going to chat with her about it. Hi Lee, welcome back to the show.
Hi Sherry, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good, thank you. I've just moved house, so things are a bit hectic down here, but it's getting settled in. I'm back in my hometown, so that's really lovely, back near the family, and looking forward to moving into a nice Bay of Plenty summer. We're up near the beach now, so things have been busy.
I can relate to that. I just moved too, so yeah, I'm trying to get settled too. So it is not pleasant. Well, it's hard.
It's hard living out of boxes and trying to find where you've put things. It really is. But we are getting there, so, and it is lovely to be back home. So yeah.
I know. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. And you're going into your spring, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So.
And we're going into our winter.
Oh, well, it's the way the seasons go, isn't it? Not much we can do about that.
For my guests who don't know, Lee lives in New Zealand, in case you didn't catch it from her accent. Why don't you start by telling us about your new book that's coming out, what's it about, and what kind of audience do you think would appreciate it, and stuff like that.
It released just at the end of July, so not that long ago, just a month now, and it's a collaborative novel called Hounds of the Underworld, which I wrote with my colleague Dan Ray Bartz, and it's a supernatural crime noir novel, a he said, she said, so I write the sort of uptight little Chinese scientist, and Dan writes the sort of bad boy sort of ex-con half-brother, and they're a sort of sleuth duo. So we had a lot of fun writing it, and we're right in the middle of writing the second book, so still enjoying the story and the characters, but just lovely to see it in print. I just got the new copies, and just the first print copies came recently. So that's always exciting to see, isn't it, Sherry? Just opening a box and seeing books with your name on it. And it seems to be doing pretty well too. We have a little American publisher, Raw Dog Screaming Press, a boutique publisher, who sort of specialise in sort of weird and fiction and quirky kind of stories, and we found a great home there, and they've been really good to us. So that's been really nice, and it's nice to sort of be there in the American market, because New Zealand's quite a small market, and it's nice to have that sort of global readership.
That's cool. It sounds like really. I love the dichotomy of the two characters. It's just like so cute. The uptight girl,
yeah,
and the bad boy. It sounds like it's a lot of fun.
Actually, it's a lot like the two of us in some ways. And in the story, they have a sort of brother and sister. It's a brother and sister relationship, and it's rather amusing because Dan and I, when we write, we do have a kind of brother and sister relationship where we kind of squabble. And, you know, I'm a little bit older than Dan, and so I like to boss him around, and he likes to go off on tangents and do his own thing. So it's a really fun sort of very organic process for writing, and it has been fun. I think it shows in the story, and you know, and also it's actually, to be honest, Jerry, it's a sort of, it's one of the things that that has been evident in the reviews that we've got. Well, obviously it's early days, but we've had a few reviews come in, and people have said they've really liked that sort of banter, that sort of brother and sister squabbly, because they can relate to it. You know, that it's something that people are, well, you've got a brother, I'm sure you understand this, Sherry. You know, mm-hmm. that squabbling over the dishes, you know, that little bit of one, and it's, and there's an affection there, but also, you know, you're not scared to say what you think when it's a sibling. So it's something that people have noted in the reviews, and you know, and so it's something we're trying to keep that feel in the second book while we've been writing it. But it is, it does make it quite a lot of fun, especially since we've got that kind of relationship. So it's easy to put it on the page.
Yeah, well, you know, brothers and sisters can tease each other in ways that other people can't tease them. Like with my brother, I know all his points and he knows all mine, so we tease each other about it all the time. But if someone else did it to him or did it to me, it wouldn't have the same reaction.
No,
there's affection
no, exactly
behind
right.
the brother and sister, and when it comes from someone else, you don't know where they're coming from.
No, that's exactly right. And they, of course, they know all the buttons to push too, don't they? I mean, they really know how to wind you up.
Exactly. That's the point. It's just you just know where to go, but you also can read each other. You say, oh, he's not in the mood, so you don't do it. You know, you just, or she's not in the mood, or she's upset, so let's not go there, because, you know, there,
yeah,
you can read each other where you
that
can't with a stranger.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think it's something that a lot of readers identify with, you know, that idea of sort of family and connection, and also the conflict that comes with knowing someone really well and having that familiarity. So it's been a nice thing to explore within the whole sort of adventure, supernatural, crime genre. So it has been, it's a little different, you know, for a crime duo. So we've really enjoyed it, and you know, the reviews have been good, so obviously the readers have been enjoying it too. So,
and you know,
and
that
of course,
when
you know those
things, that they always have each other's back, so no matter what is happening, they're going to protect each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's cool, though. I'm so glad that you guys got good reviews already. Wow, that's pretty quick. Because, I mean, my last book, it took, I don't know, about a month before one review even popped up.
Yeah, it is. It's hard, isn't it? It is. If you've got, we're starting to get a little readership now, because it's a sort of odd genre, you know, we're crossing a couple of genres with the sort of science fiction, supernaturally type thing, and also that mystery crime sort of feel. And so it's a tough one, because it takes a while to build a readership when you're trying to cross over a couple of genres. But yeah, no, the reviews are coming in, and they've been lovely to see. And of course, you know, when you're, you know, I'm thinking in the old days, if you read a book and you'd see your work colleagues the next day, and you'd talk about the book, and then that, you know, the news would spread kind of by word of mouth. But we're talking about a global marketplace now, so online reviews are really that sort of replacing that word of mouth, you know, type of discussion about books, because there are so many books out there and not everyone's reading the same things. So, you know, they are so important in helping with discoverability and sort of finding that readership.
Yeah, and also a good thing about reviews is that, let's say you like a genre, like Amazon will send you books in that genre, here's some suggestions or recommendations. So you might end up getting sent to people who never would even have heard of you because you fit into the genre that they normally read, which would not have happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, that, you know, before you'd have to go to your librarian, you would have your librarian or your bookstore owner would have to know all of those genres and have read widely in them and say, well, you've read this, and you know, and good bookstores still do that, Sherry, don't get
mm-hmm.
me wrong, but I think now,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's just so many titles out there, so finding it really is a quagmire to try to find the thing you're looking for, or you know. Or and sometimes just sort of test the waters and something you've never tried before. And so, you know, I think it is that discovery for writers and authors and publishers trying to sort of get their work into the marketplace. Those reviews are so important to help readers understand this is what this book's about. You might like it because, you know, because you've enjoyed this book before, or this is a genre you like, or you happen to like stories that are a little bit tongue-in-cheek, you know, that kind of thing. And I think the reviews are the way we do that now, really, to get that discoverability and find out just, you know, what's out there and what we might like to read. And so, therefore, the content is important too, just what's in those reviews, because it's when we're trying to sift through the thousands of things, millions of things that are out there for us to read, what is it that we're looking for? And, you know, you can spend a lot of, well, I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time browsing bookstores and sometimes it's,
well,
you know,
I'm a book reader too, so yeah.
Finding that one thing you're in the mood to read is hard. And that's notwithstanding the piles of books in your to-read list that are already on your Kindle or, you know, sitting beside the bed, but you still go and browse just because when it's books, it's not hoarding, is it?
Yeah. The thing is, it depends on where you're going. And this is one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because here in the States, a lot of the small specialty bookstores are being basically drowned, and we've lost a lot of great ones. And when you go to some big store like Barnes & Noble, it's like a hit or miss if you're going to get someone knowledgeable or not. You know, because a lot of times they hire kids who don't know anything, that they're just basically, they got in on the sales floor somehow, they should be in the stock room because they don't know how to. In New Zealand, there still a lot of the small specialty stores? Because they're disappearing here.
Yeah, no, and I think we're having the same pressure here in the stores. When you find a good indie store, you really need to use it. You really need to
support it.
To visit it often. Yeah, exactly, because they are finding it tough. It is a very tough industry, and you know, it's just, you know, I think so much competing for our spare time, you know, sports and you know, all sorts of other things. And so, you know, really it is. It's a very hard place to be in the market. So, yes, absolutely. If you can find a good store where the people who work there are enthusiastic about books and reading and can recommend to you, then, you know, that's worth its weight in gold. You absolutely have to support them. We have quite a few of the smaller stores, but like you say, they are struggling, and so they need our support. They absolutely
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah, my favorite bookstore in Los Angeles, where I'm originally from, the guy was like the go-to guy. Wherever we lived in LA, we would drive to the store because he was so brilliant. But when he hit, I think it was 65 or 70 or something, he retired, and his kids didn't want to take over. So the store disappeared. And it was like, to us, it was so sad because they actually had a, you know, one of those sales where you, where they're giving the not giving but selling the books like real cheap and stuff to get rid of their stock and stuff. And they had two stores, and we're like, it's like the end of an era. And now it's even worse because three of my favorite stores in LA are all gone. Two here in San Diego are gone. It's just. It's almost like they're like little gems that are just popping away.
Yes.
So it actually
makes
me sad.
It really is. Yeah. I think there's a place for both. There is a place for both. You know, I mean, you can't get past the convenience of being able to log on, find the thing that you're looking for because you're doing some research or you want to look up somebody's work because you're, you know, familiar with that author and you're looking to see what's new. I think... So, you know, that convenience of being able to sort of log on and find the work you want and just and get it straight away is fantastic. But there is nothing like the experience of going into the bookstore, browsing, talking with, you know, talking with people who are knowledgeable about books, and particularly your local books. And I think that's one of the things that the beauties of little independent bookstores is that they've often got the opportunity to connect with the local authors, to, you know, and here's a book about this place that's round the corner from you that has a little special place in history. And, you know, those books, you don't necessarily find them. They're just buried in the big, you know, in the big universe of books that are out there, whereas these local bookstores are fantastic at getting those out in front of the people that need to see them. You know, if you want to know about your local history, the stories that happened here, where you live or near where you live, then I think those local bookstores are just invaluable. And if we lose those, you know, that's a whole richness of you know, of story and history that we don't get back, you know, that they're gone from the literary landscape if we don't have those places where we can connect with those stories. So
it's sad. It's like, and I mean, you can go to the library, and of course, librarians are quite very, very knowledgeable, but they have their genre that they are more interested in. Like, you have to like kind of keep going back until you find someone who has a knowledge of the genre you love. And then when you find that person, you go, what days are you on? What's your hours?
Isn't that right? Isn't that right when you're when you find someone who reads the things that you like and understands what your tastes are, and I guess, you know, those things are being replaced by an algorithm now with in the, some of these big distributors. They say, if you like this, you'll like that. And but it is like finding a good reviewer that understands what, you know, reads the kinds of things that you read. I mean, you can hook into a reviewer like that, and then you've got your sort of reading this sorted. And I think that is really valuable. So there are two places, aren't there? If you can find a librarian or find a bookseller who really understands the genre that you like, that's fantastic. And then the other way is to be able to hook into good reviewers or online, use the algorithm to find the books that you like. You know, and reading reviews is good for that too, isn't it? You can really, you know, when you read a review, you find something you might like to read, and then you check the reviews out and say, oh, you know, and sometimes it's the bad reviews that make you want to read the book, you know.
I know.
It's intriguing.
Because it's so funny because for books or movies, I have a different taste. I have a different aesthetic than most people. So one of my, you know, one of my favorite books is something that somebody else may not like. And so when I look at reviews, I look at both bad and good. And I'm like, well, this guy doesn't like it, but I do. I almost said something wrong. But forget him. I like this book. I want to get this book.
And I think it's exactly right. I think it's and some of them are so funny, aren't they? I mean, they are funny to read. There's no two ways about it. You know, I've got I've recently I was trawling some of my colleagues to say, you know, what are the reviews that you've got that have been, you know, horrible and still amusing? And I got one from a friend who got a review that said, "Recork your bathtub instead of reading this piece of pure garbage." Oh, that made me giggle. But it's the sort of thing I thought, wow, if you're going to come up with something as original as that, recork your bathtub, you know, I want to read that and see if it's really as bad as it sounds. And actually, that was for a best-selling novelist of, you know, adventure, dark fiction. And I thought, well, that's, you know, so it's intriguing, isn't it? It almost makes you want to read it just to see, just to make your own decisions.
And it's so funny because have you ever looked up a review of a book you love just to see what the reviews would be of, like, a best-selling book that you absolutely adore, and you read the people's bad reviews and they're like, did they read the same book? Do they understand the language of the book? Because it's like they didn't even read it. It's the weirdest thing.
It is so funny, isn't it? A friend of mine sent me a review recently that said that, and the review said, oh, the enemy seems to be some kind of giant cyborg bug. And he said there's absolutely no cyborg bug anywhere in the story, so he doesn't know what book they read. And he said he's thinking about putting a cyborg bug in the next book just because it's so, you know, it was a good, interesting point. And I had a similar review when I put out Into the Mist, and someone wrote and said, this story lost me when the aliens came in. I don't recall writing any aliens, so I don't know what book that person read either. And I think that's actually an important point, Sherry. I think if you're going to review a book, then you need to have read the book. It's kind of a no-brainer, don't you think?
Yeah, I had this one person review my book and said, waste of paper. And I'm like, if you bought it as an e-book, first of all, so how is it a waste of paper? And second of all, you didn't put any information, so how does anybody even know if you read it or you just feel like being a jerk?
Yeah, I think you make another good point there. I think that, you know, you actually need to review the content, you know, so that you don't need to slam the author or the politics. Well, I suppose you can if the politics aren't yours, but really it's about reviewing the content so that the person, you know, another reader coming along can make a decision, an informed decision about whether that content is of interest to them, you know, you know, the other thing I think that's important when you're writing a review, which it's so important to write reviews, it really is helpful to writers, but, you know, just not to give out too many spoilers, or it's not fair on the people who come along later, and I hate that. I really do.
I don't need to read the book. Yeah, when I do write a review, I'm very careful. I try very hard not to say, I mean, I give an idea of the book because you have to, so people are interested, but I try really hard not to give any end results or even any hint, especially if it's a murder mystery, of, you know, what thread is the right thread to, you know, which is the red herrings, I read this review of a Lord Peter Wimsey book that I hadn't read yet. And they told which of the storylines were the red herrings. And I'm like, well, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You
I think that's up to the reader, isn't it?
That's the point of reading a mystery. Yeah, exactly. It's the reader. I mean, what's the point of reading the mystery? We're going to tell them what all the red herrings are. I mean, how dumb is that?
Yeah, that's right. I agree with you. That is really unfair, isn't it? I mean, you know, for all that reviews are helpful and getting the book out there, and that's going to just stop anyone reading it if they know the end of the story or they know what the spoiler, you know, what the result is. That's not fair. That really isn't.
No, it isn't. It isn't fair, and especially if it's like, that, you know, that's classic fiction. But what if it's a new book writer? You know, what if a new author has never written before, and they've written this brilliant book that's either whatever kind of a mystery it is, and they give away the red herrings? I mean, it's like a red herring is a fake line for anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about. It means that a mystery writer, and sometimes other writers too, it depends, like somebody who doesn't write mysteries but writes a lot of red herrings in books was Jo Rollins in the Harry Potter series. She has a lot of them in her books. It's a false lead.
It's a misdirect to try, and it's a mystery, and it's really for the discerning readers to feel satisfied when they've acted, I realized that, I saw that coming, you know, and I think that's to say I'm paying attention, you know, so, you know, that they help to make a book satisfying when there are these misdirects, but you picked the right course, and you worked out who the bad guy was, or, you know,
that's
what
different.
The plot twist might have been, and, you know. Yeah, exactly. You know,
but you don't want to be handed it.
You know,
it's like taking the fun of it.
Exactly, that is. It's exploring the story yourself. And, I don't think you need to see those in reviews. I do think, though, that that they do help to create a platform. You mentioned, you know, for new writers who are just putting out a book and it's the first time, you know, a good set of reviews really can help provide a platform and sort of find that readership. So I do review for other places. I review for SQ Mag, which is an Australian sort of science fiction online design. And I also write for SpecFic New Zealand, which is a speculative fiction writers group down here, and as well as reviewing for my own site. And, you know, I think it is really good to get those new writers out there in front of readers, and because it is so hard to break in and find those readers, particularly when you're writing across genres or, you know, just new and just trying to make your way. It's so hard. So
it is.
When you know what I'm talking about, you do a lot of this work, Sherry, sort of introducing emerging artists to new audiences with this show. I mean, it's part of what you do, isn't it? Just presenting people, getting them out there, you know, helping them find a platform. So,
yeah, that is. It was so hard for me when my first book, Murder, Inc., to get any kind of an interview at all. I mean, it's like even Blog Talk Radio people weren't answering me. And, I mean, now I know who to go to, but then I didn't. And that's one of the reasons I decided to create Chatting with Sherry. And it was because I wanted to help people that were creative. It didn't matter if you're a writer, whatever kind of creative person you are, to get your work, the word out about your work, because, I mean, it is so hard. People ignore your emails, or they give you a hard time, or you're going to go on their show, and then they say, oops, I'm going to have to bump you. I had that happen, like, twice for Fantasy Timing. It's so frustrating. So that's why I started this, is to help
you. You've learned a lot of those tricks about, you know, professionalism and how to actually create a platform for your work and you know, so, I mean, I heard you said something about doing some mentorships to help people learning to, you know, new artists learning to create a platform for their work and get their message out there. And so that's something you've just started doing. Is that right?
Yeah, I am toying with it. I have been thinking about doing like a little online seminar on how to create your own platform and do some mentorship work with some people that would like help finding their way. And I'm not talking about PR. That's a whole different area, and I have friends that are professionals at that. I'm not a PR person. But create, as a creative person, your platform, where how you want to present your work, who you want to touch? How do you get the people to work with you? How to network? Things like that. And that's all from hard-earned experience, because I didn't know anything when I first started. I was just a little writer.
No, I think it's so important, because it is so hard to build those networks and build that sort of that base, you know, that basically launch you, essentially, you know, that the people who are waiting for your work to come out, who look forward to your next radio performance or whatever that may be. And I do a bit of work in mentorship with new emerging writers myself from the content side. So I think what you're offering is really valuable, and there's definitely a need for it, because we're all floundering, trying to find our way and be here. I'm over here in this massive material and content that's coming out every day. You know, there's thousands of books just coming out every day, and sort of being visible in that mass, you know, of heaving mass of new information and wonderful stories that are coming out. You know, a lot of us are looking for that kind of mentorship that will help us build. And we're not talking instantaneous, you know, suddenly on top of the pile, but it's a process of building from that first piece of work, that first book, that first story, that first performance, and building from there and creating, you know, loyal readership and viewers and people who are interested in what you have to say and the kind of stories that you tell. So I think that's a great. I think it's a great offer. I'm sure that people will be. You'll find people looking to take you up on that, because having someone mentor you and nurture you through those what steps to take, and because it's so discouraging. It really can be discouraging. I think, and it's one of the reasons I think mentorship is so valuable as a process for learning and moving forward with your work.
Yeah, it's the only way. I was lucky. I had friends that that basically they didn't. It wasn't exactly a mentorship, but it was more like they were like answer people, or just supportive people. And that's important, too, is to have people you can bounce ideas off of. Once you meet people who have more knowledge than you, that you can go to them and say, hey, I have an idea. What do I do? And they'll say, well, why don't you give whatever you want to do a shot? And if, I mean, when I first came up with Blog Talk, I went to someone like that, and I said, hey, I have this crazy idea. I mean, I used to be an actress many years ago. I'm not now. I'm just a writer and da 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 da. And they said, well, you have a great voice. Why don't you give it a shot? Can't hurt. And that's how it all started. You know?
Yeah. And then those little tips. Yeah, absolutely. For getting those tips for getting started and that encouragement to say, you could do this, and this is how you might try this. And just having someone have your back, and, you know, even if it fails, like, you come back to them and they say, well, you know, let's try this way. And just having someone have your back is hugely refreshing.
Absolutely. And once you meet, you're one of my people, Lee. you're
so
one of them.
You
are. I mean, you're one of the people. Hey, I have this idea. What do you think? Because once you have people like that, and now I have several, thank God. Thank you to all the people who are my friends that help me. They will also not only reach out to you, but they'll reach out to other people, and then those people will come to you, and you will go to them, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you have a network of people that you would never think you would have because you met this one person.
No. Well,
that's precious.
You know, you've had, what was it, a million downloads of one of your blog talks. So that just gives you some information, you know, some idea of the kind of snowball effect these things can have. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I know. And I had one an agent actually joked, was your mother listening over and over again? I'm like, my late mother did not even know how to use a computer, so I said, no.
And I think as a, you know, when you do these mentorships and you know, when you start doing this kind of, you know, offering these kinds of formal mentorships with people, Sherry, what you learn, what you understand is it's a two-way street. You know, I have a couple of mentees at the moment, one through the New Zealand Society of Authors and another one through the Australian Horror Writers Association. And, you know, they've paired me with these absolutely wonderful, talented, enthusiastic new writers. And, I, you know, first of all, it's exciting to be part of their projects and be involved in their stories, and that they are talented. But also, you know, in the process of sort of walking them through their writing, their learning process, I learn so much and I get so much back from them. You know, it is really a two-way street. You know, you bounce
That's
ideas
right.
and, you know, okay, you, exactly, you might be coming from a slightly, you know, further along in the process, and you might have, you know, started a little bit earlier and you're a little bit ahead of the process, but you're still learning, you're always still learning. And so, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're on the mentee or the mentor side of the equation. There is so much to be gained from those sorts of things. But I think in terms of what you're offering, it's a shortcut, isn't it? When you're working with a mentor, it's a shortcut for you. You don't have to necessarily fail quite as many times as they have, because they can say, look,
yeah,
I tried this, it didn't work for me. You know, so, you know, or if you do this, then I would suggest this because, and that, you know, there's those little hints and gems and tricks of the trade that, you know, just is so valuable to know up front. So I think what you're suggesting with your mentorship for building platform is a really great idea, and I really hope it takes off, Sherry, because I think it's the kind of thing that there's a need for, and definitely a niche, and you're one of the rare people that has done it successfully. You know, it's a you would be a great resource.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Lee. And you're a good resource, too.
Oh, thank you. We'll just do some mutual backslapping here.
Yeah. Hey, what's life without a little backslapping? We don't have a lot of time. I wanted to give you a chance. Do you have any adventures or projects that you want to get out there? Because we only have about 5 minutes.
Oh, well, I've got the new book in the Tane McKenna series, Into the Mist, is coming out in January of next year, I'm told. So I'm excited about that. It's been sitting there for a while. The publisher has been hugely busy. It's the Cohesion Press has grown very quickly, taking on some incredible rides. I'm very excited to be part of that stable. So the book has sat there for a little bit, but that's okay. So it's coming out in January, and then the third book will come out the following year. So exciting to have those sequels in the pipeline. I've got quite a few short story commissions, so I've been busy writing those, and I have a couple of anthology projects on the go. So as well as the sequel to Hounds of the Underworld, of course, which we discussed earlier in the piece. So yeah, quite a lot happening. I'm just sort of just trying to keep my head above water at the moment, in between the packing boxes
and
yeah, so yeah, and I'm actually sharing an office with my husband now, because he's working from home, and so that's kind of a nice change to be sort of sharing an office with him. We do the Victoria and Albert thing where I sit on one side of the desk and he's on the other, and we kind of annoy each other because we're sort of both the kind of people who like to talk, you know, and mumble. And I was doing something. I was trying a sound, and I tried it out loud because I was trying to write it in my story. And my husband said to me, "What are you doing?" I think I was sort of coughing or trying to make a guttural sound. And of course, it has been an adjustment getting the hang of working in an office with someone else, because I've had my own little porch to myself for some time now. So that's been a change. So, but yes, enjoying these new projects that I've got on the go. I am very busy, but I have some other exciting things coming up. But that's still. They're still in the works, and I can't whisper anything about them. And so I'll have to come back, Sherry, and talk with you some other time about those things when they are a little more
concrete. Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, the door is always open.
Oh, it's very kind. Well, the time just goes so quickly. We're chatting away, and suddenly you say to me, it's all over.
I know, and I hate doing it, but yeah, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show. I always love talking to you. You're such